And there goes the phone. Hi, you're on KNYOLP Fort Bragg. How can I help you?
Hey, happy concrete season, Banned Books Week, and Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, concrete season. I didn't know about that before this year, but apparently a lot of people know. October is concrete season.
What are the odds of those three holidays fall at the same time?
Astronomical. So, Zeke, have you got a story to read for me today?
Yes. You put me in an awkward position breaking into a Scott Peterson expose.
That's okay. That's okay. When you're finished,
oh, my God. Necrophilia Mendocino, and even Ellie was in on it.
Yeah.
Essay.
Have you ever met Ellie Cooney?
Have I ever met Ellie?
Yeah, except on the web.
No. I haven't had that pleasure.
Well, she's wonderful. She sat when she was 14. She sat at a dinner table with John Huston in a castle in Ireland.
Wow!
There's a picture of her. She's very tall, big round, you know, limpid eyes. So your story is called what?
Grandfather and Grandson.
Okay, take it away, Ezekiel J. Craylin.
Okie doke. Grandfather and Grandson, a parable for the 21st century. Blessed by the Great Spirit who gives me this tale and many more. This little play is to be performed in the great tradition of George Burns and Gracie Allen. Only the partners are two gay men, Randolph Taylor, my soulmate, and myself. Three characters: grandfather, played by Randolph, grandson, played by yours truly, and Jack, any tall actor will do. Randolph is totally covered by a sacred Navajo blanket that reaches all the way to the floor, and a large painted longhorn skull for his head. The skull designs are authentic Haidu and Kwakiutl totems. Grandfather holds the skull with his hands and moves it to the rhythm of his words. You never see the actual person except perhaps the hands for brief moments, which themselves should be darkly gloved. He walks on stage. A single spotlight illuminates his presence. The only prop on stage is a picnic bench about 15 feet behind him and slightly to his right, which would be somewhat stage left. He faces the audience. Grandfather, today my grandson arrives for the big powwow. I hear he has grown a lot since we last visited 23 moons ago. How old is he now? Let's see. Pauses in deliberation, then gestures. Ah, yes, 14 revolutions. Look, here he comes. Grandson enters from stage right on a skateboard, dressed just like grandfather, only smaller, including the skull. This skull is all punked out with an outrageous pink mohawk, glow paint, and many piercings. His blanket is also non-traditional, that is, decorated with superheroes like Xena, Spider-Man, Dynamic Duo, Lone Ranger and Tonto, etc. Grandson. Hey, grandfather, what's up? He high-fives by knocking his skull against grandfather's, causing a loud thock to echo resonantly throughout the entire theater. Grandfather looks down with great affection at his pint-sized protege and eyes him carefully from top to bottom and back up again. Grandson, I do not think your father intends you to go in that direction. Grandson recalls a bit. Oh, no, grandfather, don't get me started, especially when we have just come together after so long. Pauses and shrugs. It's okay with Mom, because she wants me to enjoy what remains of my fleeting childhood. Besides, breaking with tradition is not always a bad thing. Never forget the ghost dance. Grandfather, nodding in acquiescent agreement. I suppose each generation must shock the elders one way or another as a rite of passage. I only wish the direction you are now taking will go somewhere that makes you into a brave warrior. grandson, shrugging shoulders expansively. Oh, come on, grandfather, I'm already there, and have been for a long, long time. Many revolutions, in fact. So many that the infinite-fingered one can no longer keep count. You forget that my spirit, as opposed to my body, is far older than yours. So in the measure of absolute truth, I am great-grandfather to your grandson. Grandfather, shaking head in slight disagreement. No, I haven't forgotten, little pony. I was only thinking that you are such a brave spirit. You deserve to go in a direction that reflects more nobility and less absurdity. Grandson, I am not here to argue with you, O silver sage of my soul, but I am suggesting that perhaps you undervalue child's play in lightening a warrior's heart between battles. Grandfather, gesturing astonished approval, oh, little grandson, your wisdom never fails to pierce my heart like Hiawatha's own arrow. Low is his tall frame to embrace grandson, raising him off the floor. As they hug, Jack, of Jack-in-the-Box fame, comes on stage with a large delivery bag of fast food in hand. Of course, he's wearing his trademark ping-pong smiley head, only this time with an eagle feather held firm by a plain, dirty headband. The feather likewise is dirty and bent. Jack, hey, did you guys order a sourdough chicken fajita, 3 Paco Tacos, a Chichimanga Supreme, and 2 large cups of Joseph? Grandfather, yes, thank you. He politely receives the food, hands it to grandson, then pulls out a wallet and pays Jack with some wrinkled old bills. Jack takes the money, signals goodbye, and departs. Grandson, grandfather, the powwow will soon start. He points to the bench behind them, slightly stage left. Let's sit down to enjoy our meal and togetherness. Grandfather, who places a loving arm around grandson as they approach the bench. That is good, pony, for you have taken my advice. They both sit down. Grandson, confused, as he looks up at grandfather. What advice is that, my guardian angel? Grandfather, you took a different direction after all. This bench was east of where we stood, and you were about to continue north, where only people full of themselves go. Grandson, who was sipping coffee, spits out in laughter. Those are the latrines, my old friend. And they laugh and touch as the powwow begins, spotlight fading into black. Fini, offer. Would you like the same sort of product placement for your business as Jack in the Box? I will advertise your product or service somewhere in my story, newsgroup article, or mailing list, where it is guaranteed to attract every reader's attention or your money back. The sole part I keep. Please note an extra surcharge for product placement in my articles to GayNet. You know whom to contact if interested. The end.
Got it. This time I was actually sitting next to the microphone when you were finished, not like last time when it was somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
Had to run over. And there's a new machine here that Jerry installed that lets me put you on the phone.
God,
I love a machine that does exactly what it's supposed to do. I just, it's like, you know, how some people,
Microsoft get its hands on it.
Some people look at a, some people look at a flower, you know, or a beautiful animal, and they're just filled with delight. But I see a machine like this, you know, it's got two buttons on it. You press one button and the collar is on the air, and you press the other button and the collar is off the air. And I can just talk into the microphone here. I don't have to hold anything else, and I can turn my microphone off if I want. It's just, it does exactly what it's supposed to do. And I've been without that since early winter, since fall of 2011.
Well, that's great. Well, technology can be elegant when it's done right.
Yeah, this is like 40-year-old technology too. It's a just
oh,
a beautiful,
very cool.
Beautiful
yeah.
machine.
Yeah.
The lights go on and off when you talk. There's some lights on it that they turn red and green, and it's very exciting and very antique looking. Gray machine.
Well, you do keep the history of radio in all your programs. You know, you keep the thread right from the beginning, little bits and pieces here and there, which I like very much. You know, you always say goodnight, Mrs. Calabash, and you play some old-time radio theater.
I'm not even sure.
And you have your local callers.
Coca-Colas?
Your local callers.
Oh, right. Yeah, there is that.
It's nice that it's not a talk show. A lot of people call in because, you know, that little ring of the phone is kind of chilling. It's kind of, you know, it's almost scary.
Yeah, what fresh hell is this? That's what I used to say whenever I went to put somebody on the air on KMFB.
Well, when I listen to the podcast, you know, I listen straight through. Well, if I on the days I don't call in, on the Fridays I don't call in, I start at hour 3. That would be midnight, because I know you probably didn't read my work before then.
Right, I generally
read.
And then
another day I listen to the first 3 hours. But anyway, you know, an hour 4, 1 a.m. the phone rings. I know it's me, but it's very funny. It's kind of, it's like, ooh, you know, it's really cool. There's something about that phone ringing that puts a nice little eerie, slightly humorous touch to your show, too.
Hmm. Well, I was thinking about building a little box that would flash a light instead of ringing the phone, but you like the phone ringing? I'll leave it that way.
Oh, yeah, it's great. No, I mean, you know, you can't see the flash on the radio. That'd be nice. Maybe we'll invent something called television for that, huh?
Yeah, television, a miraculous device that lets you see static as well as hear it.
Well, can you tell a little more about Zach? Update?
If you like, go ahead.
He's driving me nuts. Every so often he throws me a left curve. But, you know, that's expected when you care about anyone, whether it's raising a child or a really good friend or whatever. There's always something going to come up. It's never steady as she goes, you know, like life, is it? And he, you know, this dog is working out very well for him. It's a blue nose pit bull mastiff. And, you know, as I said, I'm not crazy about pit bulls or whatever, but this one is really, really sweet, really nice. And he's sort of a rescue dog. And the dog is so happy. Oh, he just wants to do his play. And he had him in his shopping cart. The dog was just in the lap of luxury, you know, just with some cushioning, with old shirts on. And he's so nice to that dog. And it's a good. And I had a dog bone I got used for him as I handed to Zach. The dog was just looking up. Oh, he wanted that bone, you know. Very, very nice. And then he told me that a cop came to him, and the other cops have come to him, and they complimented on the dog. And one cop said, this is about a month ago, said, that's a nice dog, but if you got off the leash, I'd still shoot him. And I said, you know why he said that? He put a little fear in you to make sure you keep that dog close to you. He doesn't want you to lose that dog. It's a beautiful dog, you know. Well, this other cop told him, look, you know, you have to get him fixed. And, we could wind up taking him from you. And you have to get the tags. Well, he lost the tags because his shopping cart was stolen. And he had removed the tags for the night or whatever. All right, so he said, I'm going to give him a. I'm not going to have a dog that's my buddy whose nuts are chopped off. And I said to him, look, I really understand and respect where you're coming from, but this time around, you're wrong. You know? And he got him dabbed at SBCA. You know, dabbed, you know, treated for the fleas. The stuff lasts for 3 months or so. And the dog's very. He takes wonderful care of the dog. And, so he knows where to go. He knows all about how to get this done and stuff. Oh, all right. And I can relate to him. And, you know, I use the Jungian approach. You respect the client or patient. You respect what they're going through as a real experience for them. From their perspective, it's real how they see things or whatever. And I could relate. All right, you love an animal. You don't want to do this what might be a crude surgical operation. But please, you know, he didn't think it through, I don't think. And I said, no, you don't do that. You love this dog. The dog loves you. You've got to do it. He said, well, I'll just go on the run then, you know, so that I won't have to happen to my dog. So I talked to him about it a bit. He sort of, like, resisted, got a little angry, whatever, but not really. He told me he really appreciates being here and whatever. But then I got all worried. I said, no, he's going to be really, really sad if he gets rid of that dog. And so he must have had it for about a year, year and a half now. And they're so good together. And dog is just so nice. So I was prepared what to say. But so, you know, 5 days had passed, and he hasn't dropped over yet. And I'm just, you know, I say, how am I going to deal with this? I can't be angry at him. I thought, no, I'm going to tell him, look, you're so good to this dog, and you love him. This dog loves you. You're his hero. How's he going to feel if suddenly you just abandon him? Because, you know, you're going to get caught. If you go on the run, that's a foolish drama. And eventually you're going to get the dog, and it'll take it from you, put up for adoption, won't get adopted, and go to, and it'll be put to sleep, probably. And how's your dog, Gator, he goes, I'm going to feel? He says, where's my buddy Zach? He's my hero. Where is he? I miss him so much. He's going to be miserable. I said, you just do the right thing. Don't make such a big deal out of it. You're a wonderful man. You're doing such a good job with this dog. I can't imagine you ever being without him and stuff. So, you know, I'm just going to make it very clear to him and really compliment him. And, he always does the right thing in the long run. He just puts me through this, but it's a little dramas of life, you know. You got the big dramas of Trump and other stuff and climate change, and you got little dramas. Sometimes I feel like I'm going to fall flat in my face. And that heat wave, too, on top of everything else. So,
how are things going with your adventure with Larkin?
Oh, well, nothing new to report yet, except I did get a chance to let him know I have the another Scooby-Doo gift for him. This is about a week ago, and he came by. And I said, I have another Scooby-Doo gift for you, you know, in this bag there. And he just walked away. But then he turned around. And he made, like, a sign of the cross in a humorous way with two fingers in each hand, like he used to do to me in the bar we first met at, like oh, Hex, get away, or whatever. And he does it humorously. Like, one night I said, oh, this is years ago, I said, we should sleep together. And he crosses double fingers, ooh, you know, like an exorcist. So he did that humorously. And I said, okay, I'll hold it for you. But then before that, I said, I had my lines figured out. If he turned me down, I said, unbelievable. I never heard of such a thing. Larkin turning down a Scooby-Doo gift? The world is coming to an end. And that's when he turned and did that to me and smiled and then went off. So, well, I don't know what he's going to stage next, but that 20-hour rant of how screwed up I am was so remarkable and funny that was one of his big scenes he did. And when he does a big scene, he doesn't do anything for. It takes longer to come back and do something else. He wants it to, be seasoned or mellow. This guy doesn't. Everything he does is scripted. Like he plans everything ahead of time, and I can figure out. I can often figure out what he's going to do next. But then I realize the only reason I can is because he gave me clues. He makes me think a lot. But no, it's been other than that, unusually flat.
Okay, you know, that sounds like you're running to the end of that. Now I know where you are on the dog situation and the Larkin situation. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, yes, I found out a little more about my neighbor who died.
Oh, right, that's your neighbor who died.
Well, Zach has a cousin who's also on the street, name of Cameron. He's tall. He's Larkin's height, only a center frame. But also quite handsome, only 26, and this is about 6 days ago, and I told him, you know, the only person who's been nice to me in this building for a long time died all of a sudden. I find it weird. And he said, "Oh, do you mean Michael right next to him?" I said, "Yeah. Oh, I know." This. He mentioned some other guy's name. He's a really nice guy. Some other guy named. And I said, "Well, he's a really nice guy." So I didn't ask any more questions because Cameron also knows this guy who lives above me, I found that out only 3 days after someone else, a real old guy, Eddie. I mean, he's on his last legs, can barely make it up and down the stairs. And we've had the elevator was out for like 3 months. They were going to replace it, but then decided not to. So, you know, you had to fix it. And two people who have trouble getting around now, older people, were stuck. So anyway, Eddie sometimes makes up stories. He's very amusing, too. But he said this guy who's next to him, who's the guy above me, is kind of dim-witted. And his mother, who's wealthy, wants nothing to do with him. So she's just paying the manager extra money to watch over him, keep him up there, which explains the strange sounds above me now and then. I thought maybe the guy is lifting weights and drops him or something. It doesn't happen too often, so it's not that big a deal. Well, obviously, but if Eddie's at least been correct, this guy's, you know, kind of dim-witted and weird, I'm glad I don't know him. And it turns out, I find out, between Cameron tells me he sort of knows this guy up there, which I don't know how he got to tell me, because I didn't bring up Eddie or any of that with him. It's like I just found that out. And then I found out about 2 weeks later that he knew this other guy who lived with Michael, who died. And so I don't know whether I should ask Cameron any more details, because I don't know how he'll react. But Michael, before he died, for the 5 or 6 months before that, he was started to have people live with him to help pay the rent. I don't know what he's doing through Airbnb or whatever, but it's just a large studio. You can have a rolling door to separate one bed from another or whatever, but that's it. So, but what does Cameron mean by the guy's nice? You know, or he gives him speed, he's friendly, or is he just... When people say someone's nice, you know, what's nice, this doesn't mean anything. If you only know someone for a short time, and this person is saying who lived with Michael. No one's lived with Michael longer than 5 months, and I don't think this guy was even there that long. I can't tell because it's very quiet. I can't see who's coming and going, but I see different people come and go, you know, over the weeks. They seemed okay. But this guy is talking about is kind of sketchy looking, big hair, dresses real kind of semi-cleany type. In other words, to me, shower party type. To me, that's not a nice person, you know. And he's still living there, so I don't know what the hell's going on.
Living there in the place where your friend died?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And another strange...
And are the sounds like somebody's bowling up there still coming?
Saying what? Say it again.
The sounds that you were talking about, like somebody's bowling up there, are those sounds still coming?
That's the guy above me. Has nothing to do with Michael right next to me.
I don't like it when, you know, if you have somebody up above you, they should have a rug and not have a, you know, bare wood floor.
But the guy is mentally slow, so, you know.
So they bowl slowly then.
And he has a wealthy mother who doesn't want anything to do with him, so she's, you know, pawning him off on the manager to get extra money to keep him there or whatever. I, unfortunately, am stuck with this and can't do anything about it. But, you know,
okay,
I'm going to play, if
you don't mind. Can you hear me all right? Because I can hear you fine.
I hear you perfectly fine.
Okay, good. I'm going to put on Godspeed, You Black Emperor, Bosses Hang Part 2, and I'm going to talk to you either next week or the week after that, and I'm going to look for a story from you for next week if everything's still okay. Does that sound good to you?
I'm sure it will be. That sounds great. Thanks so much, and another great show.
Thanks for calling. Have a treat. Have a pizza or something if you can afford it.
I just did.
You just did. Okay. Well, you can afford it then. Life is good. See you later, Zeke. Bye-bye.
Bye.